Okay, please turn with me to our text for this evening. And it's Psalm 117. Psalm 117, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 117 is a very famous psalm. It is the shortest of the psalms, and it is the shortest chapter in the Bible. It is also the middle chapter of the entire Bible. Now, we seldom sing this psalm in public worship for a very simple reason, and the simple reason is that it is very short. But it is really a very beautiful psalm with a very profound meaning to it. It is part of what is called the Egyptian Hallel. The Hallel would be the kind of the hymns that the Lord Jesus would have sung with his disciples when he celebrated the Passover with them. And so it would be part of the psalms that our Lord would have sung when he instituted the Lord's Supper in the night that he was betrayed. Indeed, I believe that we must take this psalm as the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he sings not only in union with us in congregational worship, but in union with his disciples throughout the ages. Now, we are led to this understanding of this psalm really by the Apostle Paul's use of this psalm in the New Testament. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now, verse 11 is where Paul quotes from Psalm 117 in the first verse. But let's read the context from verse 8. And it reads, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." Now there's Psalm 18 in verse 49. And verse 10. "And again he saith, Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people." That's Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 43. In verse 11. "And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." Now this is Psalm 117 verse 1. Now I leave it to you to sort out the speakers of all this quotation of the Apostle Paul. But one thing is clear. Paul is quoting these words as the words of a single person. Who is this person? Well, he cannot be God triune, because the speaker addresses God directly in verse the second part of verse 9. And the speaker cannot be David or Moses, because David could not have spoken Deuteronomy 32 verse 43, and Moses could not have spoken Psalm 18 in verse 49. What a natural reading of the text from verse 8 would lead us to understand that the speaker is none other than Jesus Christ, the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Or let me put it this way. If no one tells you that the quotations that Paul made here are taken from Deuteronomy or from the Psalms, and no one tells you that Deuteronomy is written by Moses and the Psalms are attributed to David, then you'll probably attribute those words that are quoted exactly as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this intuition is correct. Moses spoke in the spirit of Christ, and his song was quoted, and that these songs given this inspiration of the spirit of Christ, no doubt, and the psalmist also spoke in the spirit of Christ. So then we have no doubt that the Holy Spirit intends for us to understand Psalm 117 as the words of Christ. We may entitle this psalm Messiah's Call to Praise in the Great Congregation. When we sing this psalm, this short psalm, we do three things. First of all, we exhort one another to praise the Lord. Secondly, we remind one another of the Lord's merciful kindness toward us. And thirdly, we encourage one another with the Lord's faithfulness. Consider these three things. First, we exhort one another to praise the Lord. Our psalm begins and close with a call to praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. And the last part of it again, in verse 2, praise ye the Lord. Now we say this is a call to praise the Lord in the great congregation for two reasons. First, this is the picture given to us in the last verse of Psalm 116, where the Lord essentially says that he will call upon, he will praise God in the courts, in the Lord's house, in the midst of Jerusalem, etc. But secondly, this call in Psalm 117 is obviously a call to the redeemed. For who else has known the merciful kindness of the Lord but the redeemed? So clearly this is a call that is made to God's people. And we believe in made to God's people in the midst of worship. As the redeemed of the Lord, we already come to Mount Zion and are part of the general assembly, which comprises of just men made perfect, as well as those who are being perfected. We read this in Hebrews chapter 12, where the author of Hebrews used the perfect tense to tell us that we are Christian today, have already come to the general assembly. We are already there. We are part of that body, that great assembly that worships God. Therefore, when we sing this psalm in union with Christ in the congregation, we are exhorting one another as members of the great congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are exhorting one another to praise the Lord. And notice how verse 1 is rendered in Romans again. Look at Romans. Keep your finger in Psalm 117 and go to Romans and chapter 15. We read that just now, but good to look at it again. Romans chapter 15 and verse 11. And this is what how Paul quotes Psalm 117 verse 1. Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Now where in Psalm 117 verse 1 we have all ye nations, in Romans 15:11 we have all ye Gentiles. Notice that. Thus Psalm 117 is not merely a call to praise the Lord given to the world. Rather, it anticipates the extension of the Lord's mercy and truth to the Gentiles in the last days. So the call to praise the Lord is especially relevant to us who are Gentiles by birth, who have been joined unto Christ together with the redeemed throughout the ages. What a great privilege we enjoy, don't we? What a great privilege we have to praise the Lord and to join with Christ our Savior to exhort one another to praise the Lord. Well, may the Lord grant us that our hearts may indeed overflow with great grateful thanks, that our lips may have high praises for the Lord whenever we are gathered together to worship the Lord. But now, what reasons do we have to encourage one another to praise the Lord? Well, the second thing that we do when we sing Psalm 117, as I mentioned, is to remind one another of the Lord's merciful kindness. We read, praise the Lord, and why? Verse 2, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. Now this is the first reason why we have to encourage one another to praise the Lord. Take note that the word rendered merciful kindness is really one word in the Hebrew, and the word is the word chesed. guttural, chesed. And this word occurs 248 times in the Old Testament. It's variously translated as mercy, kindness, goodness, long, loving kindness, and our text, and Psalm 119 in verse 76, merciful kindness. Now, what exactly does this word mean? What I must have mentioned before, this word does not really have a direct English translation. It doesn't have a one-word equivalent in the English. But Hebrew scholars who studied the Old Testament have noticed that this word, when used to describe the relationship between God and man, is always used to describe the intimate bond between God and his covenant people. So this word does not just describe God's kindness and mercy in general, but rather it is used to describe his loving kindness and mercy toward his covenant people, the people to whom God has declared, "I am your God and you are my people." In other words, when we sing this psalm, we are calling upon one another to praise the Lord for his covenant love toward us. How is this covenantal love manifested? Well, it's manifested in Christ coming, living, suffering, and dying for us, and rising again from the dead. His blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 13:20. God's people, we deserve God's wrath and curse. But as great as God's wrath is towards us, so much the greater is his mercy towards us in Christ. We deserve no pity at all. We sin not only in Adam but in ourselves, over and over again. But God's merciful kindness is so great toward us that the eternal Son of God took on our flesh and was tempted at all points, like as we are, yet without sin, so that we may know that we have in him a compassionate, great high priest. So great is God's loving kindness toward us, that we may have the assurance that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, because he sealed God's love for us with his blood. Says the Apostle Paul, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Such, beloved brothers and sisters and children in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the greatness of God's covenant loving kindness toward us. Therefore, never doubt, never ever doubt the extent of God's mercy toward you. You may have sinned many ways. You may have failed again and again. You truly do not deserve God's mercy and kindness. But the greatness of the Lord's covenant mercy is not dependent on you. It is dependent rather on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our covenant head. If you are united to him by faith, you will experience God's covenant loving kindness, and he will preserve you always with his love and his care. He will forgive you your sin. He will cleanse your heart of every iniquity when you come to him in contrition, seeking his fatherly forgiveness. He will strengthen you in the inner man. He will preserve you from apostasy. He will hold you in his hand, and no one will be able to pluck you out of his hand. But not only is his merciful kindness great toward us, his faithfulness endures forever. For consider thirdly, when we sing this psalm, we encourage one another with the Lord's faithfulness. Praise the Lord For, verse 2, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Now the word rendered truth, amen, is related to the word amen. Speaks of firmness, stability, and therefore it also points to faithfulness and truth or truthfulness. In this light, we understand that God's word is true because God is faithful and reliable. So also, the truth of the Lord is not merely a reference to the Bible, although it is included. It is really about the faithfulness of God. That is, what God says is true, and what He promises will come to pass. God's word will never become irrelevant. We must praise the Lord because of His merciful kindness. We must also praise Him because of His truth and faithfulness. God has made a covenant. He will never break it. But did not God break His covenant, you say, since He made a covenant with Israel and He allowed Judah and Israel to go into exile? He brought a portion of Judah back to the land. But in AD 70, they got dispersed too. And the 10 northern kingdoms, most of them never come back. Did He not break His covenant when He allowed foreign powers to rule the promised land for great stretches in history? Did not God break His covenant with Israel when today very, very few of Israel in the flesh are in the Church of Christ? Well, no. God did not break His covenant. You must remember that the promised land is only a type or shadow of the heavenly inheritance that is reserved for God's people. And God's covenant with Israel is not really made with Israel as a nation, but it's made with Israel as the people of God. It's made with Israel of God as a covenant people. Remember how when God would cut the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, Abraham was in deep sleep when the two theophanies passed through the pieces. I believe the covenant which was enacted at that time is really the covenant between the Father and the Son. The Father represented by the furnace, and the Son represented by the burning lamb. So God's covenant is really made with the Israel of God, or the seed of Christ. In Genesis 3:15 is seed of the woman. Seed of the woman is Christ and His church. And the blood of the everlasting covenant is the blood shed on Calvary's tree. The truth of faithfulness of the Lord endures forever because He cannot fail to keep His promise. Why? Because He has cut a covenant. When the ancient fathers cut a covenant by passing through the pieces of the animals that has been cut into two, what they were essentially doing is to call upon God to cut them asunder like the animals if they fail to keep their promise. When God passed through the pieces, He's telling us that He will definitely keep His word, for He cannot be cut asunder, nor can He be destroyed. We must praise the Lord, for His truth endures forever. Whatever He says is true and will be true forever. Whatever promises He has made, He will keep it. God is not a man that He should change His mind. Nor will God find himself powerless to keep his promises. As the prophet Balaam reminds us, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make good? God has kept his promises concerning the incarnation of the Messiah and the gathering of the Gentiles. We are beneficiaries of the fulfillment of his promise. God is still fulfilling his promises to build the Israel of God. He will continue to keep his promises. The day is coming when he would have gathered all the elect, and then the Lord Jesus will come again. He will glorify and vindicate his church. He will put away sin and suffering, and all the cares of this present world completely from us permanently. He has promised. We must believe the Lord. We must praise him for his truth and faithfulness endures from generation to generation. We must trust him to keep his word, that he is God, not only to us, but to our children and our children's children. For he's a covenant keeping God that shows his covenant loving kindness down the generation to them that love him and keep his commandments. Our beloved brethren and children, many things in this life distract us and discourage us. Don't stay. We look at ourselves, look at our sin and our failures, realize that we are so wretched in ourselves. We look at the situation in the world. We look at our families. We look at the church. Sometimes we are disheartened for one reason or another. The name of Christ is trampled everywhere. Worldliness and wickedness seem to prevail so much that we are even fearful that our children will be drawn into the world and be lost. But take heart, brothers and sisters, youth and children in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is a covenant-keeping God. He has demonstrated his merciful loving kindness toward us in an irrevocable way in Christ Jesus, living, suffering, dying for us, and rising again from the dead for our justification. Let us therefore praise him and bless his holy name. And let us continue to walk, nay, run the Christian race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, believing that God, who has kept his promise, is keeping his promise and will keep it unto the end. And so let us encourage one another, exhort one another to praise him from the bottom of our hearts, and to praise him because of his covenant loving kindness toward us, and because his truth and faithfulness endures forever. May the Lord help us. Amen.